Right. Hello and welcome. I always have to start talking immediately because I do a podcast and this is transferred over to the podcast where you're just listening. So welcome. Oh, I got a notification on Facebook. That's a good sign. And let's see here. nowhere else am I technically yet. I don't know if I'm on YouTube yet, but join me, get in here. Let's chat it up. Now let me know where you're watching from. Hello, Facebook. Welcome. Oh, I got Sky on YouTube. Hello. How are you doing? How's it going? Okay. So I have been going live for the last, 3 to 4 weeks. On just Rumble and just X, Twitter. So I have not been live on Facebook and I haven't been live on YouTube. So I missed you guys. I missed you. I haven't been live there because I can only say so much, right? I can only speak so much truth. And then it's like, I mean, right now on Facebook, you guys, about 1% of my page is seeing my content. 1%, not even. So it's pretty bad. They do not like moms that do satire. They don't like it. If you do satire, if you just simply expose what you see. I mean, that's what I do, guys. That's what I do. I literally just mirror what is being presented to us. And a lot of people don't like looking in the mirror. And so it makes people mad. So they report your page. They send you mean messages. And so it's hurt my reach. I mean, clearly, look, there's like barely anyone on here because of how bad it's gotten. So I'm going to talk about that later. Oh, now Rumble has launched me. So that's good. I'm now on Rumble. Guys, follow me on Rumble. Follow me on X. I'm Con Mama. I know. I wish I wasn't a Con Mama because it sounds like a con artist. And I'm not. I'm conservative mama, but I made it shorter so I could fit it on there. And then looking back, I was like, why did I do that? But you can't change it because it's just like, so that's where we're at. And then I'm conservative mama over on Rumble and growing there almost at 10,000 followers on Rumble, which is good. But I gotta grow on platforms I can speak freely because we're heading into an election. It's going to get really intense. It's going to get more and more big tech censorship is going to increase. And I think it's important for people to hear the truth. And I'm going to keep speaking the truth. That's what I'm called to do. And it's going to offend people because the truth offends people, but it also sets you free. And you can see clearly when you are presented with the truth. I watched this awesome video and I'm going to show you a couple of videos today. But I watched an awesome video and it was too long. It's too long to share, but it was about 10 minutes long of this guy that was on the left. And he's just saying how suddenly he's starting to see it. And he goes in and his Jaded by Jaden or something like that. I'll have to find the name, but he's on TikTok. I'm not on TikTok. But anyways, he's sharing his story about how he has a friend that is on the right, a conservative on the right. And they can't talk politics because it gets so heated. It gets so intense. And he's like, and his friend's like, hey, I want you to read this book. Just read this book. And he's like, ah. So he agrees to read this book. And he goes, it took him months to read the book because every time he started reading it, it like made him sick. Like it made him so upset and so angry. And he's like, but as he started to read this book, he's like, he started to see differently. He started to think differently. And he doesn't name the book, but he's like, and then he goes, it was really hard because now I'm starting to wonder, like, I've been wrong. And that's the hardest thing for people to admit is once they start to see it, to realize I've been wrong. I haven't seen it. In the clear light. And that's difficult. And that takes like a moment of humbling. It takes a moment of acknowledgement, self-reflection of like, wow, but people are starting to see it. I don't know if you guys have seen, Stephen Miller, is it Stephen? what's his name? He's a popular guy on ESPN. All the guys watch him. What's his name? I'll tell you his name. Stephen Smith. Stephen Smith. I want to say Stephen Miller. Stephen Smith goes off. And David Mamet, this huge playwright, suddenly awake. Famous playwright. One of the greatest playwrights of our time. And that's encouraging because that's somebody in the arts. And that's my love is the arts. I believe that we gotta move through the art, guys. We gotta move through the culture. We gotta influence the culture. We gotta use emotion. We gotta use comedy. We gotta use tears to get that people, those people in the middle that are emotionally moved, wake them up. We gotta wake them up. And we're called for this time. We're called to be a voice. We're called to speak the truth. And so that's what we gotta be doing. Yeah, Stephen Smith. Yeah, he hates conservatism, but you got to see this video because he's suddenly like, well, wait a minute. Like, this is bad. Like, what's happening, guys? We're not in a good place. We're not in a good place. If you haven't noticed, we're not in a good place. We're mutilating children. We're confusing children. We've got multiple wars going on. We're trying to be drug into war. They're trying to bankrupt our country. They're annihilating our U.S. dollar. It's full force of communism. A complete goal is to wipe out the middle class, right? Wipe out the middle class. Have the elites, have the poor, and you rule and reign. That's basically what it's about. It's about complete and total control. So that's where we're at. And we're in a fight. You're actually in a fight, whether you realize it or not. You are in a battle. So, okay, I want to kind of start off with, we're just going to run through some things that have happened this week. So the Supreme Court listened to oral arguments about Colorado trying to remove themselves. They're trying to remove Trump from the ballot. Colorado is like, we don't like Trump. And I'm in Colorado, guys. We don't like Trump, so we're going to remove him from the ballot because he's an insurrectionist. And so the arguments did not go well. I mean, if you listen to it, I'm not just saying this because I'm completely opposed to removing Trump from the ballot, because this is a democracy and people should be able to vote for who they want to vote for. I mean, you're going to have elect a group of people decide who you can and cannot vote for. That's not a democracy. That's tyranny, right? That's autocracy. So when he committed insurrection, well, has he been charged with it? No. Has he been convicted of it? No. I mean, so anyways, so I listened to that for a while, and the people arguing to remove Trump, did not have a strong case. They didn't sound strong. They sounded like, basically it sounded like, we just don't like him. And we believe that we can remove him because we don't like him. So I believe the Supreme Court is going to strike that down, which is going to then ripple effect all these other cases that you see against him. What else? Okay, so that's my take on Supreme Court. Also, Putin and Tucker interview. Did anyone see that? Let me know. 91 criminal indictments. Yes. And they're coming off. They're not going. A lot of them are not sticking. What is this happening? No, they removed the from the docket, the January 6th one, just recently. You might want to circle back on that. I've got a troll on here, guys. He's going hard. He's going hard. He's angry. He's frustrated. He's like, Orange Man is bad. I hate him. I hate him so much. I want the guy that can't talk. He's got to. Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Okay. Thank you, Gino, for sharing. Appreciate it. Okay. So I listened to the interview. It was like 2 hours, guys. It was like a 2-hour interview. And here's my thoughts. Okay. Because I've seen a lot of people on the right that are like, yeah, Putin, yay. And I'm not yay, Putin, yay. You know, the guy's been in office for over 20 years. How does that happen? I mean, if you're like, running like lawful good elections, how do you stay in power that long, honestly? And I don't like his treatment of some people there. Even if I disagree with their way of life, I don't think that people should be treated or hurt in any way because they've chosen to live a certain lifestyle. Now, do I agree with that lifestyle? Not at all. But disagree on that front. There's a lot of things that I disagree with Putin on. His invasion of Ukraine. Now, this is something that he went into detail in, and I found it very interesting. Now, I was born in the 80s, okay? So the people that were born before the 80s very much were conditioned, like heavily conditioned, to hate Russia, hate the USSR. Like, it was like America versus the USSR. When you talk to these people, they're like, they were hiding under their desks at school. They were waiting for to be completely nuked by Russia. Like, that was their, that's their mindset. So they're very much like Russia bad, Russia bad, Russia bad. But when you hear Putin talk, and I think it's important, no matter where you're coming from, to hear the other side out. I will listen to people that I completely disagree with just to hear where they're coming from. And it also helps me with my satire and comedy, because I have to study these people. I have to know why they think the way they think, why they're emotionally led, why they're for the most of the part, they're angry. Like, I don't know a lot of happy leftists. They're not happy people. But it's important to listen to them. It's important to hear them out. It's important to, okay, what do you have to say? Like, what, why do you think the way you think? And so it's important to listen to this interview, because Putin presented the history of Russia and the history of Ukraine. And basically, his argument is Ukraine is part of Russia. Ukraine has always been part of Russia. Politicians and globalists got involved in Ukraine and tried to separate it and kind of make it its own state, you know, and they succeeded at that. But in reality, Russia and Ukraine are like one. It's part of the motherland. So he sees it as just retaking the motherland back. I do agree with him on not hurting children. A lot of this stuff that we're seeing done in America, I think will lead to the downfall of America if we don't stop it. The minute you start messing with children, the minute you start hurting children, harming children, grooming children, doing detestable, disgusting, sick things that the left supports and pushes and propagates in our schools, the minute you start doing that, you've lost the covering. Any God covering, any blessing from the Almighty is removed. You can't do that. You can't touch kids. You can't. And that's what we're seeing the left do. So I agree with him on that front. He also said that we're ruining the American dollar. We are. We are destroying our dollar. And he mentions China and how China is literally the economic superpower at this point. And we've done it. I mean, we've sent we're getting cheap goods. We've sent everything over there to be made. We're not making things in America. We're not putting America first. We're not using our own resources to create and build and innovate. We're using China. And I don't think China likes us. I don't think China cares about us. When you start to, I don't know if you guys saw the interview about the Darien Gap with Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson is talking to Brett Weinstein about the Darien Gap. The Darien Gap is a literally a place in Panama, heavy entrenched jungle land territory, very, very difficult to cross. And you've got over 500,000 people crossing that. When before that, you couldn't cross it. So they're being helped. They're being aided by the UN, and China is heavily involved down there. But the people that are crossing from China are not hanging out with the other immigrants crossing, and they don't want anything to do with them. And the theory was kind of like, and the Chinese that are coming are military age men. And why are they coming? And we're not securing our border. Why? Like, what? Why? If you want to protect Americans, you're going to secure our border. It's not happening. So you got to ask these questions. You got to be skeptical. So Putin was talking about, he was basically talking about this stuff. And it's amazing. And then they went into talking about the billions and billions that America has spent on Ukraine, right? I mean, they're asking, they have another bill in the Senate right now asking for another so many billion. It's insane why we have veterans, why we have homeless on the streets. We're sending billions and billions to a country that's not going to win. I mean, in reality, they're not going to win. So it's, and we're causing more loss of life, right? More Ukrainians are dying. I don't want Ukrainians to die. And that's happening, right? And it needs to stop. Like, there needs to be some kind of negotiation. I don't know when the left just decided to be like pro-war. I don't know when this happened. When you study the left, I mean, it's kind of, it's gone from liberalism, but they're not liberals anymore, because liberals is freedom and the ability to speak freely and no censorship speech and freedom of religion. And the left has morphed from liberalism into leftism, which is pretty much full-blown communism. And they're all about like continuing this whole war, feeding the military industrial complex. Let's keep this thing going. In the meantime, let's wipe out any resources Americans have. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I am feeling the economy. I am feeling it every single day when I grocery shop, when I fill up my car with gas, when I'm doing kids' sports, when you're asking you to throw in money here and there. We're being depleted, and it's hard to watch when you're seeing billions and billions sent to another country that there's no checks and balances. We have no idea how this money is being spent. When you ask, can we get a detailed outline of how you're spending this money? They won't give it to you. I have no idea. And Ukraine is notoriously known for corruption. Notoriously known for corruption. Another thing that Putin said was that there's a lot of anti-Semitism, but I can't say the real word that he used because Facebook will censor me. But they're people that followed Hitler, basically. Okay, I think you know what I'm saying. And he wants to rid Ukraine of that. This is where I counter with him on that, and I have to disagree with him, because in a roundabout way, Hamas is getting funding from Russia, and Hamas clearly anti-Semitic. So that doesn't make sense to me. I'm like, no. What's the truth there? Right? There's something else there that we're not being told, that I didn't feel like was told in the interview. So I disagree with him on that front, because if you're truly about eradicating anti-Semitism, which we all should be, you're not going to be funding a country, a group of people, a militia group that literally went in and attacked Israel on October 7th. You're not going to do that. So I don't buy that play. I didn't. There's something I was like, no. But there are things I disagree with him on. There's things I agree with him on. I think that you have to find it somewhere in the middle. I don't feel, he did say that, I can't say this because Facebook will censor it, but three-letter agency that's international for us pretty much is controlling everything, controlling the world, controlling the topple of other nations, controlling elections. And they're pretty much running the show right now, which I wouldn't disagree with. So that was the interview. It was very interesting. It was very interesting. I encourage you to listen to it. I encourage everyone to hear all sides of the argument. I don't think it's healthy to get so tunneled that you're like, no, this is how it is. And this is how, what I've always been told. Seek the truth. You got to seek the truth. We need more people awake. We need more people paying attention, and more people fighting to find the truth. And I think it's somewhere in the middle with this whole thing with Russia and Ukraine. I think you guys should listen to it. I highly encourage listening to it. Okay. Let's see here. What else do I have? Okay. So, before this interview dropped, the special counsel that was looking into charging Biden with taking documents. Remember that? Like they found, I've done like a couple satires on the documents, right? Charging him with taking documents when he was a senator. And let's just remember, as a senator, you have no right to take documents. You have no authority to then disclose the documents. It's not in your wheelhouse. Like the president can disclose, but senators, even vice presidents can't. So he took documents while a senator and he took documents while a vice president. Well, in the special counsel report that they put out yesterday, was unbelievable. Like, they dropped this report. They said, basically, we're not charging him because he's an old man. Like, I'm not kidding you. Read the report. That's basically what they're saying. They said that he didn't do it knowingly. Like, he didn't do it intentionally, but he did do it intentionally. But because he's elderly, what was the exact word phrase? Because he was, the special counsel said he willfully retained and disclosed classified materials, which is absolutely horrible. I mean, if I willfully retained and disclosed classified materials, I would be going to prison. I would. Straight up. If you willfully retained and disclosed classified materials, you would be going to prison, but not for the elite. Okay. Two-tier justice system, right? Not for the elite. The elite can pretty much do whatever they want, is basically what the report says. Also, the report says that he engaged in practices that present serious risks to national security. Serious risks to national security. They also said that he, that he lacks a mental state of willfulness. And that, where do they, hold on a second. I've got to tell you guys this part, because this is the one that everyone's talking about. And it's kind of like, and the mainstream media is totally trying to downplay it. They're like, it's totally fine. Like, it's totally fine. Like, he's an elderly man. What did they say? He's an elderly man with poor memory. An elderly man with poor memory. Now, I want you guys to think about this. This is Biden's special counsel. This is Biden's DOJ. Okay. They're saying he's an elderly man. He's an elderly man with poor memory. An elderly man with poor memory. This guy, you guys, has nuclear codes. Okay. He's carrying around the nuclear football, right? Like, he has access to literally launch nuclear weapons. And he's an elderly man with poor memory. He struggled with knowing that he was vice president in the report. He struggled knowing about when his son died, how he died. It's horrible, the whole report. So you're reading all this and you're thinking to yourself, this was done intentionally. This was done intentionally. So you can be like, yeah, Biden, boo, in your face, Biden, down with Biden. But they're throwing him under the bus. It's happening. Biden's DOJ, the people in control, the people controlling all of this, have now said, we're going with Plan B. It's time for Plan B. And no way are they going to run the elderly man with poor memory. I mean, and I don't see 81 million Americans, more than Obama. Remember, Biden got more votes than Obama. I don't see them saying, hey, we're going to go with the elderly man with poor memory. I'm going to go with the elderly man. I'll take the elderly man with poor memory. But to protect my children, right? I really care about my kids. I really care about, you know, the safety of America. I really care about our economy. I really care about no more war. So I'm going to go with the elderly man with poor memory. I mean, I don't see Americans doing that. Maybe they will. I mean, maybe at this point we're just that dumb. I mean, maybe at this point Americans are just that stupid. I don't know. But I would like to think that they're not going to go with the elderly man with poor memory. So they've got something up their sleeve, right? I mean, this is Biden's DOJ. They wrote the report. They did it. So then this leads to the next thing that happened. So middle of the evening last night, it's like posted that there's a special, so, you know, Biden has something he wants to say. He's going to give a little presser. He's going to talk to the American people. He's going to give a presser. So I'm like, what is this? Because I'm in the middle of watching the Tucker Carlson interview. So I'm like, what? Why? What is he? So I'm like, is this to distract from the Tucker Carlson interview? Like, are they doing this so we don't? So we watch Biden and we don't watch the interview. Like, you know, you get in your head about that stuff. So I pause. I pause the Putin Tucker Carlson interview, and I go over and I watch. I watch this thing, and it is a train wreck. If you want to watch a train wreck, it's this presser. First of all, whoever sent him out, they need to be questioned because they're part of Plan B. So Biden team, whoever sent Biden out to talk to the press last night, you guys need to keep an eye on that guy. I'd keep an eye on him because he's not on your team. He's not on your team. So Biden comes out. He's clearly like upset, like he's angry. And he's talking about how sharp he is and how his memory is great and everything's fine because he's upset that, you know, the special counsel threw him under the bus. And the special counsel has said that, hey, he's a poor elderly man with poor memory. He's an elderly man with poor memory. And so he's like, he's, you know, walks out and he's like, ah. So he starts kind of yelling at the press. He's yelling at the press. It's like uncomfortable to watch because you're like, why are you so angry? Like, calm down. So he's yelling at the press. And then he's like, my memory is great. And he's like, they talked about my son. And every single time they talk about his son, he gets very emotional, and understandably so. So he's getting emotional. And he says, you know, I wear the rosary of Lady of, and then he like draws a complete blank. And everyone's like, oh, like, you know, he's talking about how great his memory is. And then he can't remember like what Lady of something, something, like can't, he doesn't know, he's like complete blank. And he's like arguing and yelling at them and telling them his memory is great. And then he starts to kind of go. And then he decides to like take questions, like questions from the press, more questions from the press. And they should have pulled him off at that point. Like it should have been like, let's get him off the stage. But they didn't. They didn't. They kept him on. And that means that the people that put him out there, they're on Plan B too. They have moved on. They're ready to let this guy completely be put to shame, which, to be honest with you, is absolutely disgusting. I don't know how you live with yourself. You've got a poor guy out there. And yes, I disagree with Biden on so much. His policies, the way a lot of his life choices, what he's done to our country. I mean, I am not a Biden fan. But at this point, I see an elderly man with poor memory that is struggling. He's struggling, right? And anyone out there can picture their grandpa or their father, if you're older, like help him, like get him off. But they don't. They leave him out there. So then he goes on to say, he's asked like some foreign policy questions. And then he goes on to say that, I think he said, what was it? The president, he says, the president of Egypt, Egypt's name is the president of Mexico. So like, clear mistake while he's trying to prove how cognizant he is. And it's just like, oh my gosh, like I'm literally jaw dropped. Like I'm like, whoa. And then he storms off. And it's like, wow, what did I just watch? So now I'm all in my head because I'm like, they're doing something. So just be ready. Like it's something's gonna happen. Something's gonna flip, which leads you to think like, what's the plan, right? Because that's what I do. I'm always thinking like, what's the plan? What's going on? What are they calculating? What are they thinking? So I think there's some internal stuff happening because when Biden was out there, he's fighting for his spot. He's like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm brilliant. I can remember everything. I'm sharp mind. And so he's resisting. So there is internal conflict happening behind the scenes. Like I will guarantee you that. Now, what is it? Is Biden saying I'm not going anywhere? Is Joe like, he's not going anywhere. We're not going anywhere. And then what is the plan? Like you next up is Kamala. Like if you're honest, next up is Kamala and she's entitled, you guys. Like you can't just say, hey, Kamala, we know that you are literally next in line to be president, if you were to win the next election here. We know that you have the opportunity to be the first woman president in the history of America. Like, that's a big deal. She's also Black. I know that she's like Jamaican or really in a multicultural heritage. Like, that's significant, right? Like, that's a big deal. So are they going to her? Are they going to say, hey, we're gonna let you go with it? Even though she's not popular at all. She could not win a national election. And so is she backing Biden? It makes me think like, no, we're not going anywhere. Like, is she also on Team Biden saying we're not going anywhere because she knows she's got to get Joe through the finish line so that she can step on if something happens? So I'm wondering what's going on there. Then also, how do you say, no, we're going to remove Kamala as well? Then you've got all the people on the left that are completely emotionally led, and they only look at the color of your skin and not the content of your character. And they're looking at this and they're like, you can't do that. So then I'm thinking, do they try to get someone more popular like a Michelle Obama? But then that means you're just going to like give Kamala the boot. And then how does that play? Is everyone like, that's fine. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, it's fine. Sorry, Kamala, it doesn't matter. Sorry. And Michelle Obama, like, what experience does she have? Like, has she ever run anything? And I think someone that's running a country should have some knowledge, foreign policy experience, especially with what's going on internationally across the globe. Does she know how the economy functions and flows? Like, does she have a good grasp on that? I don't think so. I don't think that that's her forte. I know that she was a first lady. She's written some great books. She's a great speaker. And she does not like America that much, not a big fan. And she is a lawyer. She's got a law background, but there's some shady stuff that she did back then as well that would come out if she did run. And then you've got Gavin Newsom behind the scenes. It's like, hey, I'm Gavin. Hey. And I'm like, I don't think you could actually take Gavin and like put him up in front of these other two women. Like, I mean, how does that play? Especially if you're a leftist and you only look at the color of people's skin and not the content of their character. And that gender also is extremely important. So how would you jump, you know, two women, you know, and be like, hey, I'm a white guy and I'm going to run the scene. Like, I don't know how you do that. So I'll tell you, there's a lot going on. And the thing is, when you start to see that this decline happening, can you make it to the convention? Right. I think that's everyone's question behind the scenes. Can we make it to the convention? Cause at the convention, like, all bets are off. You know, the delegates, like, if Biden says, hey, I'm not going to run, I've chosen not to run for my own health or issues like that, I'm not running. Then these delegates that were assigned to Biden are free, right? So then you've got like all in, they're trying to get anybody on the stage at that point to take the nomination. That's when you could see a Michelle step on, because at that point, Kamala is not necessarily positioned, but she is still positioned because she's the vice president of the United States. But she's not, that ticket's kind of gone. Do you know what I'm saying? So it's really interesting. We're at a very interesting place right now. And I don't know. I don't know how it plays out, but I'm fascinated by it. I'm fascinated to watch it play out. Either way, here we go, right? Don't vote on policies. I mean, do vote on policies. Don't vote on your emotion. Do vote on policies. That's why we vote, right? There's a lot of people out there that only vote because they feel a certain way. That's not why we vote. We don't vote on our feelings. We don't vote on our emotions. We vote on policies. What policies keep your kids safe? What policies put more money in your pocket? What policies allow you to save for your kids' future? What policies allow you to buy groceries? What policies allow you to fill your gas tank? What policies keep your roads safe, your streets safe, your city, your community safe? Those are what we vote on. Those are the policies we vote on. That's why we vote. Right? Regardless, I mean, they're going to throw all sorts of emotional junk at you. What policies secure our border? That's why we vote. We're educated. We're smart. We're intelligent. We don't vote on our feelings. That's not why we vote, guys. Tell this to your friends. Tell this to your family. Don't vote on your feelings. You might not like him. Listen, I'm not. Woo! Trump, 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 Trump. That's not me. That is not me. Okay. There's thing. I had a discussion last night with my husband. He goes, did you hear that Trump's telling people to drink Bud Light again? I said, yeah, I'm not drinking it. I don't do whatever he says. I'm not like, oh, whatever. No, there's several things that I disagree with him on. Several. I'm not going to start drinking Bud Light because somebody told me to. I'm not drinking Bud Light because I never got an apology for this company reducing me down to a lipstick and a skirt. A woman is much more than that. That's why I'm not drinking Bud Light. So you give me an apology. I want an apology. Then maybe we'll talk. Haven't got one, not drinking your product. Okay. Regardless of who tells me to or not. That's not how I think. That's not who I am. But I'll tell you, if it's choice between the communists, the leftists, the people that want to forego full globalism, eat bugs, own nothing, and Trump, we're going with Trump. That's just what we're going to do. So that's where I'm at. Okay. I got to show you this video. Because I'm going to be honest with you guys, I was a little discouraged. I was a little discouraged the other day. I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I'll think, do they see it? Like, does anybody see what's happening to the world, to our country? You got illegal immigrants beating the crap out of police officers in New York City, giving the bird to the cameras. You've got an influx of people dying from fentanyl. You've got horrible stuff happening to the youth in America, confusion, mutilation to our children. It's wicked, right? And I'm thinking, can they not see it? Because I know people still, and I know you do, that are all in on Biden because they don't like Trump. Right? They don't like Trump. So they're voting for Biden. They're going to vote for the poor elderly man because they don't like Trump. Trump says stuff that's really mean sometimes. And he raises his voice. I don't know if he raises his voice. I've been told he does, but he's just mean. He's mean. And so I'm not voting for him because he's mean. And I still know people like that. They're still there, guys. And it's like, okay, they still can't see it. So I was like, they still can't see it. I don't know if they ever will at this point. Like, obviously you can't see it. But some people can. Some people are waking up. So I got to show you this if I can. It is, what's his name again? Stephen Smith. And I know he's not a conservative, not a Trump fan. But watch this video. Watch what he says. And
you can pick and choose. What it came down to for me is this. I see homeless folks in the streets of New York all the time that are American citizens. I damn sure see them in California. We've got poor, impoverished, starving people who were born and raised in this nation. How in the hell do we come up with a $53 million pilot program for illegals, but folks who are here legally are born here, we don't have enough of them. Just like we could come up with billions for Ukraine, but somehow, some way, we can't fix the homeless problem. I'm down for helping Israel. I'm down for helping address the situations with the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, okay? I'm down for helping the Ukrainians and fighting off Russia. What about poor and desolate citizens here? How the hell do you print money? For foreign countries, but you don't print that money to help eradicate folks that are starving right here in the streets of America who were born and raised here. This is what I'm talking about. And so when you have something like that, what's the one way to eradicate it? Yes, you got to have a flourishing economy. Yes, you can't have inflation. Yes, you can't be on the verge of a recession. Milk don't need to cost $7. No. Bread don't need to cost $5. Don't get me started with how much sugar cost. You can talk about employment all you want to. You can talk about the labor participation rate. But guess what? If you ain't making no damn money and you got to get two jobs to pay the same prices or to buy the same amount of stuff that you used to buy and the price is higher than it used to be because of inflation, then guess what? What are you really accomplishing? That's why Trump is on the verge of getting elected, reelected. Because when he was in office, there was a flourishing economy.
So, wow. That was a big one. That's big because he's not a Trump fan. He's not a Trump fan, but he's starting to see it. Once you start to see it, I'm telling you guys, once you start to see it, once you start to, and we got the troll, trolls on here. But if you say, okay, I'm going to step back from what I'm so determined to see and allow myself to be open to seeing it differently, or to be open to maybe, just maybe, those people that I cannot stand, those people that I just despise, what if they were right? What if they're right? And you're here living your life advocating for what's wrong. And you spent time doing that. It's never too late to stop and to turn around and to say, you know what? I'm going to take a look. I'm going to take a look at the other side. I'm going to take a look at what they really care about. What are they fighting for? What do they believe in? And I want to give you guys another one because it is encouraging. I think you guys need to be encouraged. This guy is David Mamet, huge playwright.
Since Abraham.
Huge playwright. He has written. I was theater in college, and have worked on some of his plays, read his plays, very, very popular. So I'm sure a lot of people in Hollywood and are not happy. They're not happy. They don't want to hear what he says here. But thank God we have people that are bold enough to speak the truth. They're bold enough, even when, I mean, this guy's completely outnumbered. I'll tell you, in Hollywood, you guys, completely outnumbered. Hollywood is groupthink. You don't get to work if you don't think the way they think. You don't get to work if you don't talk the way they talk. Like, that is how it operates there. So for someone to come out with at his status and to say what he says here, it's extremely admirable. So watch.
Lincoln. How can I say that? A, I can say that because...
Oh, wait, hold on. Let me...
Trump was the best president since Abraham Lincoln. How can I say that? A, I can say that because we have a constitution that allows me to say it. And B, because I got my eyes open, right? He brought peace to the Middle East. He closed the border. He made us an energy exporter. He had the best rating among African Americans of any president ever. He went into the black communities and said, what do you got to lose? Let's get serious. And the country was at peace and prosperous in the world. All of a sudden he gets kicked out and the world is a mess. But because the liberals cannot defend their position, their positions are indefensible. All they can do is indict Trump. He's not generating anger. He's talking reason. The love of God, you know, he says, wouldn't you like the government to stop wasting your money on garbage? Wouldn't you like to stop the flow of sex trafficking and fen-fen over the southern border? Wouldn't you like to be yet again peace in the Middle East? What in the world were we doing getting out of Afghanistan and leaving $1 trillion worth of armaments there? Why in the world are we giving money to Iran? Which is minting money that they're spending on supposedly not making nuclear reactors, but then not enforcing the sanctions.
Yep.
He says, dude, he says, am I crazy or is this insane? And so that's what the people responded to. It wasn't, white anger, white rage. It's nonsense. White anger and white rage and anti-Trumpism is the only answer that the left has to the fact that everything they've touched, they've ruined.
In Iowa, just yesterday, Trump had this massive landslide victory. It looks like he's on a very good course towards the election this year. Would you vote for him when it comes around?
Of course I would. Listen, people say, oh, his character this, his character. Listen, he got a big mouth. So do I, right? The question is, who do you like in a fair fight with your back to the wall? Who would you rather have, Joe Biden, who's a senile old bag man, or Donald Trump, who's a scrapper and loves his country?
So There you go. That's absolute truth being spoken right there. Why are we giving money to Iran? Right? What? Why? These people are trying to wipe Israel off the face of the earth, and they hate America. Why? Why? The people in charge right now don't have America's best interests at heart. They don't have your family's best interests at heart. They don't have your kids' best interests at heart. They don't. That's the truth. So that's, I'm going to wrap it up pretty quick soon here. Oh, we do have the Super Bowl this Sunday. I found it very interesting that in 2020, you guys, it was the Chiefs versus San Francisco. Do you guys remember that? Isn't that weird? And here we are like in 2024 and it's the Chiefs versus San Francisco. Like that, like, whoa, I don't know what to make of that, but that kind of makes me like, there's a lot. And then we've got Trump versus Biden again. And it's kind of, it's like, have we gone full circle here? Maybe we'll hope for a change. I think most Americans out there that are not moved emotionally, that are moved logically, that vote on policy are ready for a change. I think they're ready for a change. I think we're ready to get things back on the right track. We're ready to get the economy back up and going. Did you know that 20% of these jobs that they're reporting that Biden has created are government? It's more government. It's more bureaucracy in our world. At the same time, I was sent this morning. A huge bust took place in New York City about police officers taking an undercut of contracts to build buildings or something like that. I'll have to find out the exact story. But hundreds have been arrested for this. It's been going on for a decade. And it's basically just government corruption at its core. It's government corruption. That's why I'm a limited government person. I believe that the role of government should not be extended, but it should be condensed. The more power given to government, the more opportunities for corruption to take place. And that's what we're seeing. So of course, Biden gave, it's 20% more to government, more to basically corruption, the opportunity for corruption with these jobs. So anyways, that's it for me. I do want to plug this right now because I don't do this often. I'm going to start doing this now to support me on Patreon. Like I said, this economy is taking an effect. And I'm in a place where I either go work on a campaign or go work on with a think tank or something like that, or I keep making videos. Like that's where I'm at, because if I decide to keep making videos, I have to make more money in it. I have to be able to justify why I do it. And I can't do that right now. I literally can't do that right now. It's the censorship is so bad on Facebook and big tech that it's limiting any like the monetization that I used to make. So now I need supporters. I need Patreon supporters. I will pin the link in my comments, but I need people to support me monthly. It was $3. It's $3 a month. You can choose to give more or, it's $3 to get into the Patreon. And it's just to support me. If you believe in satire, if you believe in using comedy and emotion to reach those people in the middle that still can't see it, I'm asking for your support. And I hate doing it because I'm not like a salesperson. Like I tried sales once and I was terrible at it. I'm like, either you want it or you don't. And so I've always kind of thought like that, either they like comedy or they don't. But I do believe that if you want something, sometimes you have to ask for it. So I really want to still make these videos. I still want to do the commentary. I still want to create satire and humor and use it to reach people in the middle. So I would appreciate your support. It's on patreon.com. You can look up Conservative Mama and become a patron there. I do have current patrons that I'm so thankful for. They really have encouraged me along the way, especially when the censorship has really set in. Just so you guys know, I mean, I used to post videos on Facebook that would get millions of views, millions. And now it's so small. So I'm trying to grow on other platforms, but that's where I'm at. So here I am. Here I'm at, am saying, please support my Patreon. And I'll put the link in. I don't know if I can do that. Can I? Let me try. Let me try to do it here. But let me see. Here we go. Yeah, here's, I'll do the link right here. Copy. Tell me if you see it. I don't know. This is not my thing, but I'm just going to do it because I feel like I'm being led to do it. Did you get that? No. Is that? Yes. Okay, good. I just dropped it. And I don't know if there's a way to pin it. Gosh, I just don't know these things. No, I don't know. I don't know. Anyways, I'm thankful for you guys. God bless you. Wishing you a wonderful. Oh, good, Dale. Thank you. Dale sees it. I want to wish you guys a wonderful weekend and keep speaking the truth, keep being a light, keep being willing to have conversations. Don't give up on those people that can't see it yet. I refuse to. I'm praying for them and I'm believing that at some day, sometime, I'm going to get a phone call where it's like, okay, can I talk to you? I see it. I've resisted, but now I see it. I'm going to hear it. So God bless. Thank you guys. And we'll talk soon.